Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
We thank God for leading us to this church today. We thank God for keeping us safe until today. We thank God for everything which He does for us each day. Today, I just want to share with you about the few issues which were affecting the Herodians, the disciples, about Jesus Christ. They were bothered much about Jesus Christ, especially the Herodians or the Romans, Sadducees and Pharisees. In fact, they were not sure who Jesus was. So they planned some questions which were trapping to Jesus Christ. Maybe they would go via the disciples. Jesus Christ would answer these questions diplomatically, in a special way, because Jesus Christ was God. He knew their thoughts. Whatever they were discussing, Jesus Christ knew before they approached Him. So He got ready the answers to them, to give them the right answer at the right time. By the way, Jesus Christ is God, and He was God by then. But they were doubting if Jesus Christ was God. They were not sure. Even the people like the prophets, John, when he was arrested, he had a doubt about Jesus Christ, who he was. This is when he sent some people, when he was in prison, to ask, "Are you the one, or should you wait for the other?" That's what John said when he sent the his disciples to ask Jesus Christ who he was. Because he didn't expect himself to be in prison if Jesus Christ was the King of Kings. People thought that when Jesus Christ has started his ministry, he would start the rule as well. The rule or his kingdom would start there. So if Jesus Christ was ruling, how come John would be imprisoned? So John asked this question: "Are you the one, or should we wait for the other?" I'm trying to say that people were doubting Jesus Christ, and the people were still thinking about the kingdom and the king, especially the King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ, at that particular time. They were tired of paying taxes to the Romans or the Herodians. On top of that, there was a temple tax which made people have many questions about it. And they looked at him to see if he was paying these taxes, Jesus Christ. So there were rumors of questions about who Jesus Christ is. Why is he not paying taxes? Who is he? By what authority is his ministry? So many questions. But one day, as we heard the scripture read here, we hear that in Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27, there was an issue of a temple tax. Temple tax was imposed to the church because people were not giving properly, but the work of God was supposed to be seen to be continuing in the church. There were priests who were supposed to be paid. There were things which were supposed to be done in the temple of God, but all needed money as it needs money today. So, They wanted to see Jesus paying tax in the temple. But Jesus Christ had no income. Therefore, Jesus Christ was not paying anything when he was with the disciples going there. Even food was provided to him by a team of women who were ministering to the apostles as they ministered the word of God. So these questions came up every day. Is he paying a temple tax or not? So when Peter went to whisper to him that there is this question, are you supposed to pay the tax? We haven't paid. We don't have money, master. They were broke. They had no money because they were just preaching. They were not working. They had no income. So Peter said, people are complaining that we are not paying tax. This, mind you, this was not a tax for the Herodians. This was or the government. But this was a tax for the temple of God. Many people were giving in the temple in the form of animals, in the form of other produces. In the long run, they ended up selling these things, auctioning what was given, doing these in the temples. Remember when Jesus met a whip and had to drive them out of the temple, people doing marketing there, auctioneering things, cattle, everything. So he turned the tables upside down because they didn't know they had forgotten the purpose of the temple. Therefore, it was just like another business. So Jesus Christ drove them out, trying to remind them the purpose of the temple. And when they were questioning about why he was doing this, he said, no, you can destroy this temple. I will build it in 3 days' time. Meaning that they can kill him. He is going to arise in 3 days. That's what Jesus meant. So I'm telling you about what happened in the temple. What was the purpose of giving? There was no more purpose of giving this time. That's why people were auctioneering things, cattle, doves, and other things, exchanging monies there. Money which was given, it was exchanged so that exchanging money, they were getting some profits, little money, charge some interest when you change. It happens in the world today. Even if you listen to the news, when they say exchange rates, you will hear that the other countries are selling to other countries money with a certain interest which is given. So it was happening in the temple that time. So there was no purpose of giving anymore. And there was no holiness in the temple anymore because the priests, the money was no longer holy. This money which was given to the temple, it was no longer holy. Remember, the money which was given to the temple was like a tithe. A tithe was known as a holy portion, which was not to be eaten in the houses or our houses. Of course, we ignore that fact today. Even if we are Christians, we think it doesn't work. I still think it works. Because if we abuse the money of God, if we abuse the portion which we are supposed to give to God, there is a case. According to Malachi 3, verses 7 to 10, God says that you have robbed me. You are robbers. Robbers that are attacking God himself, the Creator. Not with weapons, but with their hearts. Because they were taking this money and they were just eating it in their houses. They were taking these animals. They were just eating them. These were known as a holy portion, holy things of God. If you read Deuteronomy 26, verse 13 and 14, you will hear that they used to declare that, Lord, I have given a portion of the holy things. I have taken them. I have removed them from my house. So If you kept them in the house, in the long run, you get cursed. So today there are so many cases that happen in various homes, which we don't know, because we ignored what God is. It is hard to know God's mind. It is very hard to think about what God thinks and what God had planned before, what God had implanted in his people like Abraham, like all those people, the prophets. There was no Bible, scriptures, which they learned from, but God put it into their hearts so that they were doing these things. Remember how Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. He gave a tithe, which is well noted, and he was the first one to do this. You see that it was a sacred portion which was supposed to give to God so that you glorify God, thank God for whatever he did. So there was this, it was a conscience or instinct which was in people. The spirit of God was in people, which controlled them. People like Abraham, they were told to do the right thing without somebody telling them or any written thing which was written for them. It was written in their hearts. The law was in their hearts. As the Apostle Paul says that God's Spirit today is has written the law in our hearts, not in the tablets. The law is in our hearts. When you do the right thing, you know. When you do the bad things, your conscience will hit you hard. And the spirit, together with the conscience, will tell you that you are doing the wrong thing. But today's people's consciences are dead because they no longer feel it. They no longer feel God. They no longer feel guiltiness. They no longer feel whatever their responsibilities should be today. So it means that the conscience is dead at this particular time. The spirit is not there. So people are not driven by the spirit. In order for the spirit to feed us, you find that the devil takes place. He takes opportunity to deal with us. He uses us. He gets into our homes and he rules our homes various ways. He curses our homes. You find that things don't go right. There are so many things, curses, which are affecting our lives. Sicknesses, death, and other things, poverty. All these things affect us. Because we don't fear God, we have no believing spirit, as it were, that we need to take off the portion from our houses. Instead of sitting fork and knife, enjoying the portion of God unknowingly, God says that there are cases in Malachi 3, 7 to 10. There are cases, but there are blessings as well. Those cases are, even if you get in how much, no matter how much you get, you find that the money doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't finish all your things, all your expenses. You are still needy. You don't know where your money is gone every day. Then you don't know. You holding the purse every day, try to count the pennies. What went wrong? What happened to my money? You don't know all these things. So poverty is hitting people. People are becoming needy. They are becoming beggars because people are not led by the Spirit of God today. Unknowingly, ignorantly, they've moved from the holiness of God, because that portion which is supposed to be given to God is no longer given to God. Rather, it is given to our friends. It's easy to take a friend to a dinner in a very expensive hotel than giving to God. It happens. It is now human for us to do these things because we are human beings. If the Spirit of God is within us, you should feel it. It should not give you rest. What you should do to God. Responsibility is very important. If you are responsible, you'll find that every time you do things, you'll find that you haven't done the things in a right way. So you are indebted to do the right thing at a particular time. This person in Deuteronomy 26:13 said, I will declare before God that I have taken the holy things from my house and given them to the Lord's house, so that the orphans, the widows, and other suffering people, and the priests can live. Because the priests were not allowed to work, but they were only working in the temple of God. So that was the purpose of the things. Now, where the pastor opened the reading, you find that Jesus said, no, Peter, just go to the sea, to the Sea of Galilee. The first fish you will catch, open the mouth and bring the money so that we can pay our tax. It's really amazing. That was another miracle which Peter should have really believed. Peter should have not denied Jesus Christ in any other day, because he had seen this miracle. These fishes are amazing, because even the fish which swallowed Jonah is still questionable whether it was a fish or what, because in that sea, that Spanish sea, there is no fish like that. The fish that swallowed Jonah, there was no type of such a fish. So other people argue that it was an angel which took Peter, which took Jonah for 3 days in the stomach without digesting him. But he was alive, he was praying right in the stomach. So they say he was in the angel's body. And the fish, Jesus says, he, if you caught, if you catch him, remove money from the mouth. He has money. He uses the word he. He doesn't use the word she, which means that he knew exactly. It was not a female fish, but it was a male fish, because he uses the word he. So, at this particular time, like in heaven, there is no she angel. You find that all the angels are he at this particular time. All the cockly things in heaven, they are he. I don't know whether you knew these things. There is no she angel, but all the angels are he. So Jesus said, he has money in his mouth. So he take off the money. He uses the he. So it might be a fish, but others say it's an angel, because Jesus just sent an angel to provide the money to Peter so that they can pay the tax. Then he says the tax which was needed by the Herodians. Jesus says that, can you bring the coin? Then they bring the coin. Then he says, whose picture is there on that money? He says, this money has got Caesar's picture. He says, then you give Caesar his and give God his. What does it mean? It means that Caesar had only a picture there. Caesar had never created anything. The stuff in the money was created by God. And that money was supposed to go to God. But he says, give Caesar his. Give Caesar his picture. And give God his money. That's what Jesus was trying to say there. And Jesus Christ is the one who is God. He is God. That's what he was saying to the people. But they never accepted that Jesus Christ was God. but he was God. So, brothers and sisters, today, here, I'm just trying to explain to you about what people thought about Jesus Christ, what people thought about the kingdom of God. In the book of Acts chapter 1, a few minutes before Jesus flew to heaven, they asked him a question. Are you going to return the kingdom to the Israelites or what? Jesus says, it's not yours to know the times of God. But go ye, preach the gospel. Start now. Preach the gospel. Don't he talk about the kingdoms. So he's throwing away the idea that he was going to be the king instead of Herod there. Instead of the Romans, he was going to bring his kingdom there. So the apostles were worried because he was going, but the kingdom was still under the Romans. But he said, it's not yours to know. But what you should do now, go preach. Go preach. So we need to preach the kingdom of God. We need not bother about the when and the what. As I said before, because the day I repented, the pastor had pondered on the pulpit saying that Jesus can come today. Jesus is coming tomorrow. The message was so strong that I saw Jesus coming the following day. And I didn't take chance. I had just to stand and repent and come to the altar to confess my sins because Jesus was coming tomorrow. You see? So the gospel of Jesus Christ is on. It is ours. We need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let's look at all those things. Let's not doubt, like the Baptists who said, are you the one or should you wait for the other? Let's not doubt like the apostles who said, whose kingdom is this? Where is our kingdom? Let's pursue the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let's not be like the Herodians who wanted taxes only, without knowing that Caesar had only a picture on the money. The money belonged to God. Let's not be like Peter also, who doubted that, oh, we are so broke, we can't have money. Jesus showed him that you can get money anytime, anywhere, anyhow. So he went to take money from the sea. So do we have faith in God? We need to have faith in God. Brothers and sisters, today, we need to worship God with all our resources. Paul said, remember what we should gather for the holy ones in Jerusalem. So it never expired. It is still on. If we don't do anything like that, if our hearts are not burning about it, if our consciences are not doing anything about that, there are two things in our lives. I'm not intimidating you. There are curses, but there are blessings on both sides. If you go to Malachi 3, verses 7 to 9. Curses are not to be broke only. Curses can come in the form of death. Curses can come in the form of sicknesses. Curses can come in the form of some bad luck, which we think I'm bewitched. No, you are not bewitched. God spoke clearly that there are curses, but God spoke clearly that there are blessings. We Christians are very positive on blessings. That's what we expect every day. But let's do good in order to get blessings from God. Let's make sure that our lives, we check them. Are we really in God's hands? If I die today, am I in God's hands? Am I really right with my God? Or there are some things which I need to sort out there. Let's sort them out today, not tomorrow, because time is not in our hands. God is in control. God loves us. God wants us to do His will accordingly. Father, we come to you this day. We want to thank you for being our God. We want to thank you for having come and died for our sins. We thank you, Father, for your love, which is unconditional. We want to thank you, Father, for making us Christians, for making us aware and to follow you up to now. Lord, we promise that we will follow you until our time of death. We promise that we will follow you all the days of our lives, that we will do all what you commanded us to do. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going with it.
Thank you.